First Chronicles 15, 1 through 13.
And David made him a house in the city of David and prepared his place for the ark of God and pitched for it in the tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and a minister to it and to him forever. And David together gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place which he had prepared for. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the son of Kohath, Uriel, and the chief of his brethren, 120, and of the son of, what's his name, if I can speak it, and the chief of his brethren, 220, of the sons of Gretchen, Joel, the chief, and his brethren, 130, of the sons of the chief of his brethren and 200 of the sons of Hebrews, Eli, and the chief of his brethren 80 of the sons of Uzzel, Amorath, the chief of his brethren 120. And David called for Zechariah and Abiathar and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Sam, and Joel. I can't tell you what the name is. He said to them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sacrificing yourself, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God, I will go to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did it not at the first, the Lord will God made a breach upon us, for that we saw him not acting the order.
Good. A lot of tough names in that passage. Appreciate you tackling that, John. Thank you for reading that for us. But here in this passage of 1 Chronicles 15, the first 13 verses, they learn their lesson about transporting the ark. You read about their sin and how that they did that at the first over in chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and or chapter 13 rather, 9 through 11. And then in 2 Samuel with Uzzah, when they attempted to move it, at which point Uzzah transgressed the commandment of God and touched it, what did they do?
He died whenever he touched it. Yeah, didn't carry it according to what Lord had specified with the
poles. That's right. God had already specified. He had already said, "This is when you move it, this is how you're to move it, this is who is to move it, and this is the way that you're to do it lest you die." Well, they learned the lesson because, of course, they put it on a cart and they took it off, stumbled. And if you're familiar with the Bible incident of that, and you know that the ox stumbled and shook and Uzzah reached forth and touched the ark and he died. But I was reading this passage on a particular occasion, and that phrase caught my attention. The due order. For as you, that we sought him not after the due order. And there's a lot of lessons that you can make relative to thinking about the due order. In fact, there's several that I'm putting together on this phrase. And there's a lot of problems that's brought about in the religious world today because folks seek not the due order. They try to get things after their own order. They want to do things the way that they want it to be done and not the way that God would desire for it to do. And I'm still dealing with upper respiratory infection, so I hope you'll hear through that and listen to what we're talking about. Again, much error is taught and practiced in the religious world today as a result of not respecting the due order. And so on your sheet, a very simple assignment that you had. I put this together several weeks ago as helping some young men that wanted to be preachers, and I wanted to help show them that you've got to leave the order of things in the place in which God said that it is to be in. So your assignment was to take the words or the phrases on the right-hand side of these columns, on the right column, put them in the correct order as found in the passage, and write that on the left. A lot of you, I'm convinced, could have done this from memory. You may have picked this up on Wednesday and had it filled out in no time at all. And if so, that's good for you. I hope it serves as a good reminder for you. But you may not be able to do that. You may have had to turn to these passages and read them, and I hope that you did. And there's all these passages are ones you're familiar with, I'm familiar with, but as I was filling them out, I turned to the passage too, and I wanted to make sure that what I was getting ready to put in that blank, the way I was going to order those phrases and words is according to the due order, the due way that they're found in the Bible. And our first passage is Mark chapter 16 and in verse 16.
When you talk about coming into the ark, you know, the king is supposed to have copies of the law. The Levite is supposed to teach the people. So that's a failure in study, a failure in teaching. And that's why it's so important for us to have classes today and come together and study God's Word to make sure that what we do is in accordance with the
Bible. Good Lord. Very good. And they recognize that verse 2, as Johnny read it. They said, no, not to carry the ark of the Levites. For them hath the Lord sanctified, chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister to Him forever. So you're right. The only way that we're going to know is when we study. And of course, God's desire has been revealed to us in the Bible. And we've got to pick the Bible up. Mark 16:16. What does that passage say?
He that believeth and be baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned.
You know, we put a lot of emphasis, and rightly so, on words, don't we? We talk about we need to know the meaning of words. We've recently studied about that. We need to know about the tense of the words. And that all of that's important. Because words in the Bible count. These are not the words of men, but of God. You recall a passage talks about that?
Good.
When I think about words, I think about what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he talks about we speak not the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but where they get those words at? The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So the words matter. Galatians 3 is another good passage for that when he talks about the difference, not unto thy seeds as of many, but unto thy seed. And that's even on the tense of a word. So the words matter. Well, not only do the words and the phrases and so forth matter, but the order matters. You agree with that? Does it matter what the order is of Mark chapter 16:16, or can I just put that in any order that I want to and it'd do just as good? Well, folks in the religious world do that. And I'm convinced it's because they don't respect the due order, they don't respect the order in which it's found in the sacred text, but they don't realize the importance of the fact that the order matters. Well, in Mark 16 and in verse 16, what's the order that you find in that passage? What does he say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Simple as can be. That's as simple as looking through a window with a glass busted out of it. But the religious world gets that out of the right order, and they think that it accomplishes the same thing. For example, most of the denominational world will say, he that believeth is saved, and then we'll baptize it at some point down the road. We'll baptize you later to be a member of this church, though you're already saved. And so they don't respect the due order that Mark 16:16 is found in. And these are the words of Jesus. All the words of the Bible are important, but I'm simply pointing out that the Lord Himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, Catholicism gets the order wrong as well. What do they say?
Baptized.
he that baptized,
and you're saved.
Well, put this, believe and baptize, and you're saved, and
believe later on.
That's right. You believe later on. They'll baptize a baby, and the baby's a calf, and the baby's okay, and then later on we'll teach them the truth. Well, of course, babies are not subjects of baptism. They have no sins to be remitted and repented of. But again, they don't respect the order of which you find in the Bible. I'm safe to say that most of the folks that you know in the religious world today believe this first one. And probably the vast majority of the folks you talk today have probably never thought about it, maybe not even heard, though they've heard the words, they've never thought about and never paid attention to what the Lord said about it. And the very simple order of that. You know as well as I do that in Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 18, Jesus said, All power or authority has been given unto me, that is unto Christ. And so all authority has been given to Him. That doesn't leave any for you. It doesn't leave any for me. And so a very simple question to ask folks that we study with is, if the Lord put it in this order, what right or authority do I have to put it in this order or any other order? You think that's a fair question? Well, sure it's fair. And so, as you look at your sheet again, Mark 16:16, Barb, what did you put down for the order? And what goes in that first one? Believe it. Blank number two. CL, three.
Saved.
Jan, four.
Believe it's wrong.
And then June, five. Now I wonder how, and that's what I got to. Does anyone have anything different on their sheet? And if you didn't get it till this morning, then
we didn't change it yet.
You didn't change the order.
I didn't change.
But I wonder how we can all agree on the order of that. That's what the Lord said. Do you agree with the Lord?
Yep. You're forgetting something. I'll ask my preacher what he thinks about there, what he says to go.
That's a problem.
And also, I was told just the other day that the Bible says work out your own salvation. I said, well, that don't mean you work it out in the way that you want to do it. You work it out the way He tells you to work it out.
That's individual responsibility.
Yeah, that is.
Bible word says that, but it says, work out your own salvation, shield and tear. It says that in the Bible, too, not the word.
Tell them, give you a passage that says that.
I've read that about the guy short to me. It's in the King James Bible.
So we all agree on the order that you find in Mark 16:16. Now, why is that the case? Because you went to the standard of authority and you said, I'm going to look at the order. I could have sat down. I could have said, I'm just not sure, but here, let's see. I'll put them in an alphabetical order. Would that work? You could have done that. You would have been observing the order that the Lord said to do. It's simple. He said, preacher, why on earth would you do this on a Sunday morning adult Bible class? Because you need to know it. And you need to be able to teach it to other people. We know these passages, but I'm not so sure that we've looked at them in the sense of the order of things so much. And so it's good for each and every one of us. It's good for me, I'll put it that way. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. As we move on and we think about the order, and all of these have to do with salvation. Again, there's a lot of topics you could put under this phrase, the do order. There's a lot of other passages relative to what one must do to become a Christian that you could add to these. It's just something that we can get a handle on and cover in a short Bible class setting like this. Acts 2:38. What's the context of Acts 2:38?
Peter preached on the day of Pentecost.
and the people want to know what they can do to be saved.
If he's preaching about Christ, he's preaching to a group of Jews who had assembled themselves out of every nation under heaven for the day of Pentecost, and he teaches about Jesus, that Jesus is a resurrected Savior, and God had made him Lord and Christ. And so they, when they heard about the awful thing of which they were guilty of doing, by the way, were they guilty?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you know that, Rose?
Well, because they were the Jews that were not following Judas, and they were guilty of being not following him. So they...
Yeah. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that same Jesus whom you've crucified, you did it. You put him there. God had made both Lord and Christ. And so they want to know what they had to do to be saved or to have the forgiveness of their sins. Context of what Peter's talking about. And Peter says in Acts 2:38, what?
Repent.
Repent and be baptized. Repent, let everyone you be baptized in the name of Jesus for your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
It really echoes what the Lord said in Mark 16:16, where he uses the word remission of sins. And what does that word mean? Now, the removal, the remitting, the doing, the taking away for the remission of sins. And repent has the idea of what? In one word.
Change.
Okay, change.
Turn.
It's action. You change your mind about what you've done, and you it's shown forth in what you're now doing. You repent. You change your mind about it, and shown forth in the change of action and being baptized. And don't ever. We'll put a spell check on for those that are watching. Change or turn. Immersed, right? To be buried. Well, someone says, you know what, Marilyn, he just says, repent and be baptized. But, you know, this one is really connected to the salvation over here. And baptism, you know, really doesn't carry the same force. It's really just repentance that leads to the being saved. And baptism, you know, is just an outward demonstration of an inward grace. What's the problem with that? Yeah, that's not the word of the Lord. The Lord didn't say that. Peter could have said that. Prime time to say that. Right? Speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could have said a lot of things. What shall we do? Kneel down and say the Lord's Prayer. He could have said that if that were the case. Pray till you pray through. Well, repent, then you'll be saved and you'll be baptized to demonstrate that this relationship has taken place. But he didn't say that. The problem with that is one, the text doesn't say it, and two, it's just not so. People forget about the force of that word. Repent. And what does that do? It puts them together with how much force? Equal force. Baptism has just as much force as repentance has, and repentance has just as much as baptism has relative to the remission of sins. Fellas?
I've seen some people say that before. Actually, if you look at it, can mean because. And so they say that you're baptized because, but again, you got the end there. So if you can say it's because of baptism, it could be because of repentance too. And it just don't work that way.
And so you have people say that won't work. Let me give you one passage that would knock the props out from under that one. You go to Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. And you're considering the word for. And it is true that there's two words that you'll find in the original that mean, that's translated for. One can be because of, and one in order to. But when you look at the original word, this ace or ice, however you want to say it, I'm not a Greek grammar, don't claim to be one. It's the same word that you find in Matthew 26. And when Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, how can that be because of? How can he shed his blood for sins that were already remitted? If that's the idea that it has.
Because of
If they said, well, it means because of, then you had the Lord saying, this is the blood that I'm shedding because sins have already been remitted. And that won't work. It's in order to, in order that, it's directional.
He's got that reference, Johnny, also, but he's already died.
That's right. And he was alive when he said that, right?
Good. Just, and you don't have to have those, and I'm not saying learn anything about them. I'm just saying, remember that, Matthew 26, it won't work when you look at Acts 2:38. What's the order then, Acts, of that passage? What'd you get, Megan, number one?
Repent.
Great. Two.
Repent and be baptized. Some verse said, repent every one of you and let every one of you be baptized. It's the same force. Number three, Alex. Every single, that's individual. Think about that. Think about the force of that statement. Every one of you. What on earth do that for? There's that word, for. Four. Number four is four. And then number five, remission of sins. By the way, every passage in the New Testament where remission of sins or salvation and baptism are mentioned together in the same passage, guess which one comes first without exception? Nowhere. In passages where baptism and salvation are in the same passage, baptism always comes first. You're right, too. You must believe that that's right, John. But in those passages, Acts 8, 27 through 39, have the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's a man that was reading from the Scriptures. He was a Bible reader. A religious-minded person. How do we know he was a religious-minded person? And he's reading Isaiah. And what's that?
Been to
worship. Yeah, he'd been to Jerusalem to worship and was going back home. Read his Bible, but he didn't understand it. Someone read for us, for sake of time, verses 35 through 39.
Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
I want you to think about the order of this. Again, we've already established the order matters, whether you're talking about the Old Testament with moving the ark or the temple worship or any of the other things, marching around Jericho. You take any example you want to where God gave instruction and you'll see that the order matters. Number one, what goes in that first blank? Priest unto him, Jesus. Number two? Number three. Now think about that. He heard about the Lord, heard about Jesus, and now he's asking the question, "What? Here's water, what doth hinder me?" Then he went down into the water after making that good confession of his faith in Christ. Number four.
Baptized him.
Five.
Cometh out of the water.
And then six. Isn't that something that he went on his way rejoicing after? I wonder why he didn't. I think I recently preached about this, but I wonder why he didn't rejoice when Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Or maybe when they came to the water. Or maybe when he made that good confession of his faith in Christ that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or even when they got down into the water. When did he rejoice?
After
he obeyed the gospel of Christ. Acts 16, 14 and 15, someone read for us.
A woman named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, if you consider me a believer in the Lord,
I like this one because it's a simple example of conversion. And folks, there could have been a multitude of conversion accounts that God gave. Did you ever think about that? On the day of Pentecost, about how many obeyed? About 3,000. Now, would you like to pack around a Bible that had 3,000 conversion accounts? But then God selected a handful out of the thousands that could have been used to show us what we must do. Isn't that something? And this one is rather very simple, where not a lot is said, but you see the order of it. And I really appreciate the fact, number one, what goes in that blank? Yeah, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. That's not some miraculous opening. She was listening to the Word of God. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And then number two, she was baptized. And then she asked a question. If ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, I think the version, was that Jan, whoever just read that, if you come in, a believer. Yeah. If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, well, was she faithful to the Lord? Let me ask you this, was she faithful to the Lord when she attended to the things that Paul had was said, or when she did what Paul had taught? Yeah, the text doesn't say this. She didn't ask the question until afterward, and it's inferred necessarily that they judged her faithful to the Lord because she constrained them. So don't miss the simplicity of that and the importance that that carries. Acts 18:8. We've got about five minutes. This is relative to the Corinthians.
And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized.
Jim, what did you give her, number one?
Many of the Corinthians hearing.
And what about two?
Believed.
And Mary, what do you have for three?
We're baptized.
Yeah, we're baptized. They heard it, they believed it, and they were baptized. And that's the order. They were believers before they heard the word. You cannot believe what you do not know. They were not baptized before they believed it, but they heard it, they believed it. Or they heard rather, believed, and were baptized. Acts 22:16, last one. Relative to Saul of Tarsus, he's became a Christian. He's recounting his conversion. And what does Ananias tell him as recorded in Acts 22:16? Good. So what goes in blank one?
Arise.
It's an interesting word. I'm talking about necessarily the word, the instruction. If there's nothing that I can do, if there's nothing Saul can do, then the very first thing that I said, arise. Now what are you waiting for? Arise. And number two, be baptized. Number three, what sins were going to be washed away? Well, I thought they were remitted on the way to Damascus. Yeah, well, saved like Damascus, can't we? Or saved like Paul on the Damascus Road. Did he have sins needed to be washed away? Absolutely. And number four, calling on the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord as he got up and did what the God-sent preacher had told him. I appreciate your good attention. I hope this simple, powerful lesson that we ought not underestimate has been beneficial to each other. If you have questions, let me know that. If Lord willing, there will be more material to put out on Wednesday night for next Sunday morning's class. I appreciate your good attention.